Let me get everybody in. I see Lori, you're on phone and on camera, correct? Or on.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
How's everything?
Good, how are you all?
Good. We're doing okay on a snowy Tuesday.
Right. I was hoping it would bypass us, but we didn't get lucky enough.
No.
But
It's
I'll take it over the 5 feet we had the other in
Oh yeah, for
November.
sure. Amen to that one, right?
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate everybody coming together so quickly on this, but I'm gonna let Shauna and Lori kind of lead the discussion because there are some specifics that they have regarding kind of our process on the physician attestation and the PMIPs that are required, and then kind of where some of our barriers have been, and what that potentially looks like for a good majority of the clients that we have right now, and realizing, that the clinic is extremely overwhelmed, and that's, an understatement, as I know you guys are trying to reestablish we have clients trying to reestablish with providers, and I'm trying to reestablish with a provider there too, and I've been scheduled for 6 months out, so that's part of the concern as we look at long-term care because those cases can't stay open that long. And also with the physician attestations on the current cases, we're looking to have to shut some of those cases down and no longer provide long-term care services to clients in our area because of that. So I'll let Shauna and Lori kind of take the lead on that discussion, and hopefully we can come up with some kind of solution.
Lori, do you want me to speak or do you want to start?
She might be
I don't
having
know.
some phone issues. So why don't you go ahead, Shauna, and kind of
Okay.
discuss the concern.
So, hi, Cam, Chan, and Lori. I guess the major problem we're having is right now with our CDAS clients. The state requires the physician to fill out a physician's attestation form if a client is on CDAS. And that has to be a yearly form that has to be signed, unfortunately, by a physician. A nurse cannot sign those. And so with our ongoing CDAS clients, we have, I think, a couple in January that were due. We're not getting those physician attestation forms back. And per state rules, we cannot put in a PAR into the state system or into like PPL, public partnerships, or PALCO for those caregivers that work through CDAS to get paid. That form basically states that the client is in stable condition and whether they need an authorized representative to sign off on timesheets and such for those clients. And if we don't get those back, I have no choice but to close those cases. And unfortunately, like I said, that has to be signed by a physician, not a nurse. So I don't know. We have new clients also that are applying for services, people that have moved from other states, other communities, Pueblo, Denver, wherever, to Los Animas County, and without a physician, or not a physician's attestation, excuse me, that's for the CDAS, but a PMIP is a professional medical information page. Those can be signed by a nurse, but the problem we're finding with those, with new clients trying to get on long-term care services, is if we don't get that physician, that PMIP back, we cannot continue with their services. So then it's just a cycle of we have to close it, they have to reapply with Medicaid again, and we have to start the whole process over. Those can be signed by a nurse or a medical assistant. So I'm just, we have people that have moved here that can't get into the clinic for so many months, and we're just looking for suggestions on how can we get those forms signed so we don't have to close and deny services to these people who really need the in-home care.
So the first question I'll ask Shauna is the CDAS form that you're talking about. You say it needs to be signed by a physician. Can a nurse practitioner mid-level APP sign those forms?
They can. Yes. Excuse me, I misspoke. A nurse practitioner can sign those, a PA or a physician, just a nurse cannot sign those.
Got it. So are these patients that are already established within our clinic that you're waiting on CDAS forms? And has anybody reached out to Laura or Megan at the clinic regarding these documents that you're not receiving?
I think some are established, some are not. I know when Sherry Musgrave left, a lot of our clients saw her. Now they're trying to get reestablished because we've been told, my case aide has been told by Ed at the clinic, that some of the physicians will absolutely not sign those forms if they are not established with that provider, with a or any certain provider. So we're kind of, some of them are trying, they're in the process of transferring to other physicians. And in the meantime, we're kind of just left with not getting any forms because nobody will sign them if they're not established.
I know nobody's reached out to me about them, so I had no idea this was happening. Second, if the patient hasn't been seen within a year, they with Sherry, if they hadn't been seen within the year, of course, a provider's not going to sign those.
Right.
Haven't been seen. However, they can call and schedule an appointment, even like with Dr. Norris, for until they're able to establish. She's actually seeing patients for follow-ups, anything like that, when they're not able to get established immediately and they're needing to be seen for something.
Oh, that's okay. Good to know. We were not aware of that, that they can try to get in with Dr. Norris. Because I know just from working there before, I used to sign the PMIP forms all the time for the doctors because a nurse can sign those. But those physician attestation forms are really our big holdup because,
well,
you know.
I guess, and Laura and Shannon, you guys know this process better than I do, but I would say if a patient has been seen within that clinic within a year, then it's doable to have those forms signed, correct?
Yes.
Now, the CDAS form, do we feel like, I mean, you're talking about Dr. Norris, so she could be the one that helps us with some of those that would not have been seen within the last year.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes. And so the new patients, that's going to be tough, though, because we don't have records.
I
we
know.
Don't have anything.
The new patients is going to be difficult because this is just a problem, not just a Trinidad problem. I'm sure you guys know people in other areas or states that are facing the same problem. We just don't have the bandwidth to see all these new patients as timely as we would like to. They're going to get an appointment, but it's not going to be this week, next week, probably next month. If they've already seen a provider in our clinic, we can kind of help them out by seeing a mid-level or seeing Dr. Norris if they've had a doctor before. But if they're a new patient coming from Denver, we've never seen them, we don't have their records, there's not a lot we can do until they establish with somebody.
Yeah, and I think, Shannon, that's kind of been a traditional piece. When we have somebody from out of town or out of state that moves, we're kind of used to that being a process to get them in. And sometimes those apps get, they fall off and they have to reapply. I think the bigger issue right now is the CDAS physician attestation forms and then the existing clients that we have that need the PMIP forms returned, signed so that we can ensure that they're, because the PMIP has to be received in order for us to, let me back up. CDAS is in-home care provided at the consumer-directed assistance. So that means the client themselves hire their own care providers. They're not through an agency. So it could be a family member, whatever. When we're talking about the PMIPs that can be signed by the nurses, those are important because those are our care providers like COG and Caring Angels and those Alta Vista. When we don't get those forms back timely and that case closes, then our provider has to suspend services and cannot bill Medicaid for that. So it starts impacting not just us as an agency, the client, but also our provider, because then we can't get those authorized in our system for the provider to then bill Medicaid for that. So that's kind of where the holdup is, but not having any, and Kim, I appreciate you coordinating this meeting because from CEO to director, it's kind of like I'm getting kind of the same feedback. It's like, well, we don't really work in this every day, so we got to lean against the experts here as to what pathways we can figure out to bridge and build that relationship a little bit stronger so that we don't have these impacts on the clients as heavily. So anything that, and I'm glad to hear that Doctor, did you say Norris is the one that's able to see them if they're currently established but have not been seen?
Yeah,
So she's bridging
she's
their
not,
care.
yeah, she's not establishing. She's just kind of bridging that
Right.
care. Another question I have is when you say you need the return timely, what are you like, what's that turnaround that you're expecting? Or
So it depends on the program. And Shauna, you might speak to this better, but so there's two different timelines that we function. There's financial eligibility and functional eligibility. With you all, we're talking functional eligibility, meaning that we get these returned in a time frame that then we can initiate those services. But if the client is also pending functional eligibility for their continued open Medicaid case, which is the financial eligibility component, if we don't get those back in a certain time frame, then it actually shuts their entire Medicaid case for long term down, and we cannot reopen that until they reapply, and that can take weeks to months to get them back on long term care services. So realistically, PMIPs, Shauna, what do you think is a reasonable return time?
So it's the process is a little different for an initial person that's initially applying for our services. If somebody sends us an application for long-term care, we have our processes. We have 24 hours from the time we get that referral that we have to send the PMIP. That's the one the nurses can sign. We have to get that PMIP out within 24 hours. So our case aide had been doing those. Our intake person is just going to do them themselves now. So they will, what'll happen is we get a brand new referral. She'll call the potential client, get the doctor information. She sends out that PMIP within 24 hours. We have 10 days to go complete that assessment, per state rules, complete the assessment with the client. So, and with those, we'd like to have them back within that 10 days. It's not always feasible. I understand that if they're brand new here and they haven't established with somebody, that's going to be a problem if they can't get in for 6 months. We cannot send it to financial eligibility without a PMIP. So initials we know are going to be rough to do because people can't get into the clinic that quickly. With the ongoing cases, my case aide sends those out probably a month or two in advance. I know she just sent out February's PMIPs and physician attestations last week. She was working on February's. And I think
Directly to us, Shauna. I'm sorry. Those come to us directly, or do you send them to the patient and then the patient has to bring them? How does this
they get faxed to the clinic directly.
Okay, perfect. Is there any way maybe she can send me that list for February so maybe I can
I
keep track?
think we lost
Yeah.
connection.
Oh. Can you hear us again? Now they're frozen.
You froze. Can you hear me?
We can hear you,
We can
Michael.
hear you, but Shauna's frozen.
Okay. Well, yeah, what I'll ask Shauna,
She's back.
I think she's back.
Sorry, yeah, I must have lost connection for a minute. Sorry.
So what I was
What
gonna
did you say, Laura? If we could do what with them?
for those pay if she could email me that list that she sent for February, maybe. I don't know
Okay.
what, but if she
And
can,
yeah.
I can kind of keep track and see what the staff is doing and why they're not getting sent back, because 30 days is plenty of time for us to get them back to you. There's no reason they
Sure.
can't be sent back.
And I know part of the reason you said, Laura, that nobody had reached out to you is this has just kind of recently become more of an issue. And I would be glad if you and I want to connect like monthly and I can let you know who we've sent every month. That would be great too if you and I just want to kind of establish that relationship. And I can tell you these are all the clients we have for this month. Another issue is sometimes it's not always us or you guys, it's the client. They switch doctors on us, they don't tell us. So it's not always something on our end. But we're pretty, I think when we make monthly calls, they're asking, have you switched physicians? Is this still your physician? I know with Jenny Miller leaving Salute and going to you guys, that kind of put a big gap in us, because I guess Jenny's said, I'm not going to sign for any patients I saw at Salute, and nor should she. I understand that she doesn't work there anymore. But these patients want to transfer, they want to stay with her. So now they're having to wait to see Jenny for 4 months or whatever it's taking to get in. And in the meantime, I need those forms back or I have to stop services.
Technically, they would still be Salute's patients. So the providers at Salute right. would be able to sign those.
If they're, I don't think she's willing to, if they were Jenny's patients, is part of that issue that we're running into as well, that we have sent some and they're like, they're not my, like, I think it's Dr. Fetty's, you know, it's not my patient. So just any suggestions you have with that until people can transfer to you guys and get established with Jenny. I don't know if anybody there in the clinic would be willing to sign those, looking in a chart and seeing, yeah, they seem in stable condition. You know,
they haven't established with anybody.
We don't have records for that.
Yeah, we don't.
Yeah, and I think those are a hand. I think that's some outliers that, I mean, there's probably not a quick fix solution with this.
I don't mean necessarily Jenny's patients that haven't established yet, just anyone if they haven't, you know, been. Sometimes we have a doctor that'll say, you know, I haven't seen them in 3 months, I'm not going to sign it, or I haven't seen them in 6 months, or they say, I want to see the patient before I sign this form, or they want an appointment and then they can't get in for a few months. You know, I'm just trying to find a better process for all of us. I don't. Any suggestions would be helpful, but.
Well, I know established patients will be definitely easier to work with and get
right.
the new patients.
Yeah, that's, we just can't control that right now until we have more providers.
Yeah, I understand that.
Completely. Yeah, the struggle is that, you know, even if someone else would sign off on it, we don't even have the full medical record on them yet, you know.
Right.
It's fairly simple if they're established within our clinic, and our, you know, all of our docs and mid-levels are pretty good about, you know, making sure continuum of care for patients is kind of taken care of. And they're bridging that gap until they can get to an established appointment with another provider.
Sure. Yeah, Jenny and I had talked. She said the only ones that she wasn't signing are the patients that didn't have an appointment here with us.
Okay.
That means they weren't even, they didn't even have an appointment with us to establish.
They hadn't even, okay, made an establishment appointment. That clears a lot up. And I think, Laura, if you and I, if I just send you a list every month of the ones that we've sent out, that will probably help greatly. Because then you and I can just kind of track if they're actually seeing somebody, if they have an upcoming appointment or they've been seen. It's just, yeah, we just recently ran. We've never had a problem before until just recent. And I honestly think it was just the change with all the NPs kind of leaving. I think Fife left and Musgrave left, and then you guys gained Jenny. So I think it's just people are kind of hanging out there with nobody to see that they've established with those providers that left.
And I do want to point one thing out. I know that the list will help significantly, but when we're looking at the financial side of the house, if we do not have the PMIPs back or the physician attestations on the CDAS for our existing clients who are already established with you all, then their RETA term closes at 30 days, and that's 30 calendar days. So if we send that list and we still don't get those back within that time, it will shut those cases down. So, and keep in mind that has to go to long-term care, and then from long-term care it has to be entered into our system and then processed by our financial eligibility team, and that can take about a week to 2 weeks to get that processed for existing Medicaid cases that are open. So realistically, our turnaround time on those docs would have to be around 15 calendar days to get them returned.
That's reasonable.
Fair. Yeah, like I said, established patients, everything, I'm willing to work. There's no reason they shouldn't be back within those
15. In that time frame. Okay. That would be my only concern, because once those folks drop off and we drop those long-term Medicaid cases, reestablishing them is an absolute nightmare, not just for us, but for our eligibility team. And especially some of our, like our newer, like our new patient or new clients coming in, That timeline is actually 45 days on long-term care. So it's only 15 additional days for turnaround. So that's why we're having folks reapplying for long-term Medicaid about four or five times before we can get them in to see a provider, because that application can only be valid for 45 days, and then we have to close the case. So we'll work on trying to communicate with new clients better that the initial step needs to be have you scheduled an appointment. How long is that appointment out? Because I'd really hate for clients to continue to apply with us and not be able to get seen before that application closes. And there is unfortunately no way for us to extend that timeline out. That's a federal rule that we have to comply with. So that 45 days for new clients is going to be a hard deadline on that piece.
Their current provider not able to sign those, even though they're not in the county?
No, unfortunately, they have to establish some. Well, I don't. I think it depends on the type of financial processing that takes place. So, if it's, for instance, if it's an ARG application, which means that we have to have the administrative review folks look at that case. I don't think that the medical form can be signed by a prior physician in a different county. Shauna, are you aware of that?
We do have some clients that actually have seen doctors in Pueblo, or they go to Denver where their kids live and see a provider there. And we can accept those if we are able to get them from, if they've seen that, if that's their current doctor is out of the county, we can accept those. Yes.
Your patients
I
have
don't know
the
if you can hear me now. But
yes, Lori.
I just wanted to add our ongoing caseload probably averages about 130 clients a year. So you break it down, our RIDI terms vary each month. Some months we might have six, some months we might have 16. So just to share that with you. So it's not a lot of clients, but it's pretty significant. And like right now, our concern is we have four clients, but we don't have that consumer directed attendant support attestation form. The most important question on that form that we need answered to be eligible for CDAS is the client in stable health to be a candidate for the consumer directed attendant support services program. They have to be in stable health. So that's the most important question. And like they said, that does have to be filled out by a physician. And the thing is, too, we just appreciate your help because this is people's paychecks. When we look at how much our agency generates in payrolls through CDAS or in-home support or COG or Alta Vista or Caring Angels, we're looking at over millions of dollars that is provided to individuals in this county to provide care for individuals. So we're just appreciative of your help because it is people's paychecks. It's caregivers for these clients. Many of the clients on consumer direct attendant support services have skilled care needs where COG, Caring Angels, Alta Vista can't meet those needs. We're thinking, well, maybe some of them we could try to roll over to agency care. And on our ongoing, we could maybe get away with not having the physician, the professional information page, but we still can't cover those skilled care needs. And unfortunately, Sangre de Cristo Home Health doesn't have enough staff to meet the needs either of many of these cases and clients. So we're really appreciative of your help with this. And I know in the past, sometimes in the past when people were in between, a doctor would fill it out temporarily. And then when they established and met with them, they would fill out a new one. And we could accept that too, if that would help at all. So anything we could do to help you, and we do try to send our professional medical information page and our attestation forms we're trying to send them in the month before they're due. So we're trying to give you time so that you have those. And maybe that's something Shauna can say is we absolutely need these. Like right now in January, we're sending the ones with 228 end dates. And maybe we can let you know, hey, we really need them by this date. So that way Dr. Norris could assist us with the ones that don't have regular physicians.
I think that would be very helpful. And I think the biggest part of this is some communication would be very, very helpful because as Laura and I stated, this is the first information we're hearing about this. So we can't fix what we don't know about. And I can promise you that we'll make every effort to make this process better. Just if there's a little bit better communication, I think that would help all of us a lot.
Yeah, and I agree in that. You know, my intention for this was try to open that line of communication, but also we really have never had this situation to this level where it's been so significantly identifiable. You know, we've had a PMIP that was delayed slightly or an attestation form here or there, but it's never been to this magnitude where it's now impacting, you know, pretty much half of our current cases in some capacity over the last month or so. And I just see it progressively doing the same as we move forward. So absolutely the communication on our end will be to provide you that list month by month, as well as, you know, feel free to reach out directly to our team here if there's information or questions you have regarding that process or what it's going to take on our end as far as timeline. And then of course, on our financial eligibility side, if there's any questions or concerns, our intake team lead is our quality assurance guru for long-term care. So if there's any questions on new clients that you guys are seeing as patients that, you know, ask you about long-term care, we'll make sure that you have a point of contact to get them in touch with on this end as well.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
And then also, I'll just mention, we have a new provider starting next week. Obviously, they'll spend a little bit of time with systems and some of the training with EMR and that type of thing. But that will help a little bit with some availability. I'm not saying that it's going to change dramatically, but I do want to mention that, you know. So, you know, she might be able to help us with some bandwidth with some of these patients, too.
That's great to hear. Thank you.
And again, this just recently started happening, and I think it's honestly been the change with the nurse practitioners that have come and gone. We never had a problem before. I think a lot of it has to do with people leaving your facility, and then it's like these patients will tell me, well, I can't get to see anybody for 4 months, and it's like, well, I can't move forward without that form. So I think that's more where it's coming from. It's never been an issue in the past. So I don't want you to think we're putting blame or anything, because it hasn't been. Mm-hmm. It's just recently come up, I think, with Sherry and Tony Fife mm-hmm. leaving. We've had some problems with some of those clients. So.
Okay. Well, I think
also, too, to piggy on with that is that during the pandemic, we were not allowed to close any cases for the state's ruling because they didn't want anybody to lose Medicaid. And long-term care is a back door into Medicaid eligibility for a lot of individuals. So if we didn't have certain things during the pandemic, the state would let us just keep cases open. And the only way we could close certain cases is if a client moved out of state, they passed away, or they voluntarily withdrew. So we were able to not have to look at this during the pandemic, and that helped too. But now all the rules are in effect again, so we have to follow the rules.
Well, it sounds like Shauna and Laura can connect and make sure, you know, they're bridging the gap and getting what you need on your end. You know, we want to be good partners in the community, so we'll do what we can to make sure you're getting the paperwork that you need. Within reason, of course, and if they're established patients within our clinic, and we'll go from there.
You do have my email, Shauna.
Give it to me real quick, Laura.
lveltri@msrhc.org, and it's okay. Via Victor, ELTRI.
Okay, gotcha. I will try and get something together in the next, by the end of the week, see what we have outstanding, and I'll send you that list. And then we'll kind of make a process where I can just let you know that this is what we've sent out for the following month, if that works for you. Okay. Thank you all so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you all so much. And thank you on behalf of the clients and the caregivers. They'll appreciate you more so. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Guys, have a good day. Stay warm. It's icy out there.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, the only thing I want to add to that caveat of the list is that once, and I need to get the new, excuse me, I don't mean to cough in your ear. I actually ended up with COVID over the holiday break. So,
oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I tested over there and I tested 3 times at home negative. And the only way I knew Sean and I had it was when we got to Vegas. The last time I got sick, we canceled our Vegas trip. After I got better, I lost my sense of smell for like 2 weeks.
Yep.
We got to Vegas, and the day after Christmas, I got up, showered, and I put my cologne. I told Manny, I said, I think my cologne went bad. And I said, I can't smell it. And he goes, let me see. And I walked out, and he goes, phew, you really overdid it. And I was like, I can't smell it.
Oh,
and
no.
And he goes, you had COVID the whole time. I'm like, the variant doesn't test.
You so, don't test positive for quite some time. And I swear by Dr. Joe's rule is that it's not sitting in the nasal passages anymore like it was in the beginning. It is down here now. So yeah. When I test, every time I do a home test, I will get it, swab my tonsils first, and then I go up the nose with the same swab.
Yeah. And here's the crazy. So the first time I had it, I never had a sore throat. This time I didn't have a sore throat again. I didn't have fever, but for 2 days. And it was just weird. And then when we got to Vegas, and then last Thursday or Friday, I was at the house and I was doing something and I had a candle lit and I happened to lean up and I like caught a whiff and I was like, am I actually smelling it again? Or is it just in my head? And no, so the last cup over the weekend, my smell started coming back, but there's still certain scents I cannot smell.
Yeah.
So it's weird. And it did that to me the last. When we get the new person on for intake, I would like for either Sarah or that person, it's up to you, however you want to do it, but they would be the ones to send the list or have the case aid send the list to Laura so that it's coming from the same person or okay. team every sure. month. And then they can also track it on our end to see if we've received them back, because that's what I want them to be doing, is tracking those things. Because my biggest issue is, we get those back and they're not timely enough, and then eligibility can't process them quick enough.
Yep.
And then the case closes down.
We're running into that already.
Yeah. And we can't we cannot retro long-term care.
I know. I'm getting a lot of notes from Nora and Patrice saying, you know, this, or whoever, Shay, sending up a lot more saying this MedApp expired. Or expires next week, and we don't have a PMIP. But these are new people that are moving here and don't have a doctor. So, yeah.
Oh.
I'm trying to learn to be better on spreadsheets, because my goal is to get a good spreadsheet up when Sarah gets a referral. A spreadsheet with the name, the date we got the referral, the date the PMIP was sent out, the date she did the Colorado screening, the date she did the assessment. So I can just one look and say, okay, we sent the PMIP, we don't have it back. Or Sarah saw him on this day, her assessment isn't completed. I'm getting better at it, but I'm not great at it yet. So that's one of my goals, but I'm also trying to work on that back billing.
Yeah. So what we can do is, if you have a spreadsheet that you're currently working with, share it with me.
I don't have it yet. Sarah has one she's working off of. She hasn't, she said she did it on Google Docs, but.
Okay. Ask her if she will share that with me, because
okay.
maybe what we can do is set another meeting with just us to look at that spreadsheet and make sure we have all those categories and columns and topics that need to be in there. So that when the new person comes on and that person and her take over intake and split it, that spreadsheet is the dual spreadsheet that they're going to be monitoring. I just want to make sure it's built so that it's conducive for both.
Okay.
And that then if you get into that spreadsheet, you know what you're looking at and you could say, well, how come we're behind on this or where are we at with this one? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that way we can follow that.
Okay. I asked her to share it with me the other day, but I think she's been busy and just forgot. So, cause I don't even have it. She's just been using it to track her, you know, on her own. But, my goal was to get one, you know, shared with you, Lori, myself, Sarah, and whoever the new person is. And I think part of, I feel like Laura thought we were kind of blaming her, the clinic. And that's why I wanted to say at the end, it's when Sherry Musgrave left, Tony Fife left, Jenny Miller came on, these people got lost in the shuffle. And,
and part of it is that, and not to say anything bad against her, but I don't think Sherry was necessarily seeing everybody. She's as my, when I met with her as my physician, because we transferred to her and then she left like a month after. It just seemed like there were a lot of things that were done without actual review. So I don't know if she was just signing off on stuff and not actually seeing patients.
It's funny. I've heard people say that they went to see her and they didn't even get like a visit. It was more, she kind of told them all about her and her life. So I don't know where her head was, but I believe it from what I've heard.
Yeah, no, I think that that's part of the problem was that we were getting them back so quickly was because that might not have been done correctly on their end.
Yeah, and she's just signing off stuff.
That could also be why there's a little bit of apprehension and the finger, feeling like the finger's pointed at them. Because I didn't want to express that in any shape or form that this was something that they've done wrong or this is just to open up that line of communication with them. How can we do this better and find that pathway? Because they are overwhelmed. I've been scheduled since October and I can't get in until April 26th.
Jeez.
That's to establish with Lindsay Moschel. And my worry is by the time I go to establish, she's already going to be gone.
I think she's hanging out for a while.
I think as long as Judge Moschel is here, she's going to hang out. But I you know, she made a comment to Manny and I the last time we actually met with her, and it seemed kind of like, you know, we're not real pleased with the education system here. We're not.
That's what happens. They all come here when their kids are young, and then when their kids start getting into like middle school, grade school age, they get dissatisfied and they leave.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, let's have Sarah share that form with me, and then we'll work on getting something more concrete established as we get the new person in.
Okay. And the one Lori that I was telling you was calling every day about the PA.